If you've experienced a DNA surprise, you know that your emotions can range from shock to denial to grief to anger to confusion to joy and around again. And sometimes it's hard to find people who understand this unique experience. Sometimes we feel a little stuck as we navigate this journey. That's why we created the DNA Surprise Retreat. At the DNA Surprise Retreat, you'll enjoy 6 expert-led sessions to help you process your DNA surprise. You'll eat delicious catered meals, and most importantly, you'll build beautiful friendships with people who understand you, all in a stunning private ranch facility in the Arizona desert. If you've had shocking DNA test results, know that you're not alone. This retreat is for you. Join us September 19th through the 22nd, 2024 in Phoenix, Arizona. Registration is open now. Reserve your space at dnasurpriseretreat.com. I'll see you there.
There's just so much sadness, which when I listen to other episodes, you know, it's nice to hear where I hear other NPEs say, well, that's my dad and he'll always be my dad, talking about their birth certificate father and that their childhood was good. And so sometimes it's good that they found out and sometimes it's sad for them. But for me, having so much trauma growing up, it's really, really been hard for me. It's bringing it all up, the trauma of my childhood, which I have chosen to just push way down and ignore because I just wish it could have been him and it could have been different.
Imagine spitting into a tube, sending off your DNA, and unknowingly turning your life upside down. For me and thousands of others, this is our reality. I'm your host, Alexis Auerselt. In July of 2021, I discovered that I am an NPE, someone who has experienced a non-paternal event. In other words, my biological father isn't who I thought he was. This podcast shares the journeys of people who were shocked by a DNA discovery, mostly through modern DNA testing. We're telling the stories of NPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people and their families. This is DNA Surprises. Before we begin this week's episode, we have a content warning. There are multiple references to child abuse, including sexual abuse, in this story. When some people experience DNA surprises, the initial shock and grief just scratch the surface of the emotions that can arise. In this week's episode, Caroline shares how she discovered that her birth certificate father is not her biological father. This discovery brought up memories and emotions that she'd pushed to the back of her mind long ago. Caroline discusses how she's processing this new information and building connection with her newfound family. She also shares why she's glad that she shares her DNA with her biological father instead of her BCF. Thank you for sharing your story, Caroline.
My name is Caroline, and I am from Northern California, and I am 58 years old. My DNA surprise story started in 2015 when my daughter and her husband decided to do an ancestry DNA test, and they also tested my granddaughter. And so I decided to jump in. I wanted to do it too, and we all got our results, and everything looked normal. At that time, Ancestry hadn't updated their regions as much, so I was pretty much all Western European, and that didn't have me question anything, as my mom is Swiss Italian and Scottish. My father was 100% Italian from a city close to Naples, so it was, you know, kind of boring, and we thought it was cool, but no big surprises, and so I moved on, and in 2018, 3 years later, I logged in just to play around with my family tree, and I saw that I had a pretty high match for a first to second cousin, that I didn't recognize the name at all. And so I started looking in my matches and I couldn't find any Italian names except from my mom's side. And so I had sent out an email and said, hey, how do we know each other? And it was an older man. I think he said he was in his 80s. And he asked me a bunch of names I didn't recognize. None of them were Italian. And we both kind of said, well, we'll just kind of keep an eye on it. And I just left it again. I was working full time. Then in 2022, May, I was retired and I decided I was going to go in there and really build my family tree. And I did. I got really far on my birth certificate, father's side. As he was a first generation Italian, I was able to trace all of his relatives back to the same city in Campaso, Italy. And it went really fast. And I started working on my mom's side. And then again, I looked at my DNA matches, but I had that cousin and I asked him again. I said, hey, his name is Jim. And I said, Jim, any luck on any names? And I gave him some more names on my mom's side that were not Swiss Italian. And he said, no. And he started going down some names again. And he said, well, what about this name? And I said, it was kind of a familiar name, but it's funny, Alexis, because my husband's first wife, her maiden name was that last name. And I kind of laughed and thought, you know, how funny. There was no connection, but I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. So as I worked with him, I looked at my other DNA match and I saw a half sibling that was 25% DNA match, which was higher than my granddaughter, with that same last name that he had mentioned. And it was like 1737 centimorgans. And I sent out an email and said, you know, do I know you? But then I looked and he hadn't logged in over a year. So I went back to the older gentleman, Jim, and I asked him. And somehow as we were talking, he gave me some names and it clicked that my mom had a family friend with that last name and that first name that she had always talked about. And she even talked about him in the 1990s because he was in law enforcement and my stepfather, they had gone and asked him for a favor because my stepfather needed to get back to work. It was in the gaming industry and he was able to help my mom get my stepfather back to work. So about 2 weeks later, another what looked like a half-brother showed up, but it just had a handle, and the handle was my hometown where I grew up, which was a big city. So I reached out to him and said, hey, I have this match, and it looks like I matched with your brother and matched with you. Was your father in law enforcement in the city I grew up in? And he said, yeah, and he was very guarded. And I said, well, I'm looking at this and it looks like your father might be my birth father. And he said, oh no, I'm not getting involved in all this crap. And he said, you'll never get a hold of my brother. He won't ever log in again. He doesn't want anything to do with this. And so we just kept emailing back and forth and we started to exchange pictures. And I said, do you see a resemblance? And everything was no, 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 I don't see any resemblance. And so then I said, well, will you take another test? Like, let's do 23andMe. And I uploaded us to GEDmatch. And he went on to GEDmatch. And he started to believing that when he saw especially the results on GEDmatch, that everything was a half. I think it was highlighted in yellow. He said, wow, I think you might be my sister. And he asked where my mom had worked. And it was also a place where his brother, his older brother and his father and his older brother's wife had a big connection to this place. And he said, well, this has to be. And we had the same results on 23andMe. So he accepted it. And then we started emailing daily. And he told me, I don't think that my father could have ever known because that's not who my dad was. My dad wasn't someone that would ever step out of my mom. I don't know if this was a love affair or a one night stand, but he just started saying, you're my sister. And since that time, I found out in July of 2022, he's emailed me every day. He's very sweet. He's totally accepted me. Mm-hmm. He's reached out to my other half-brother who still doesn't want anything to do with it. And they're still connected in the town I grew up in. So for him, it's very shameful because his parents had the ultimate love story of 52 years together. As we were talking, I found a couple of the NPE sites on Facebook, and they immediately gave me a search angel. And the search angel contacted me, but what I didn't tell her is that I had already done a proxy tree, and I had filled it in with my birth father's name and up to his grandparents, because that's as far as I could get. And then the DNA matches started coming up, and there were all these Greek names, and it was very, very Greek, and I had thought I was three quarters Italian. So the search angel got back to me, and she said, "No, Caroline, I looked at your tree. You're not an NPE. That is your dad." And I said, "Oh, well, that's a proxy tree."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, okay, well," and she had color-coded everything on all my DNA matches, showing me that that was the DNA match and that that was my birth father. But unfortunately, my birth father, his wife, and my mother had all passed away. And my birth father died in 1998, my birth certificate father in 1983, and my mother in 2007. I also had a brother, which I guess would now be a half-brother, who passed away in 1990 of AIDS. And so I was, and my mom was the only child. So when I started seeing at the beginning all these cousins popping up, it's like, that's really not possible because none of them had Italian names. And I wouldn't have any first cousins because my mom was the only child. They had that RNA factor where they had one child and then my grandmother just kept miscarrying.
Mm.
So, but when I was born, my mom was 31 and my birth certificate father was 44. And I looked back through records and I saw that when my birth certificate father and my mother got married, which I hadn't known till I went on Ancestry, was 6 weeks after my older brother was born. He was 6 years older than me. My birth certificate father was very, very abusive, especially to my older brother because he was gay. But I thought, and he was only 5 pounds and he was very sickly when he was born. But then looking at my information, at the time I was conceived, which would have been around the third week of April 1963, because I was born in January of 1964, my mom had been married to my birth certificate father for about 6 years.
Mm.
And my birth father had been married to his one and only wife for about 18 years. And his oldest son was 18 at the time I was born. And the second brother came 9 years later. So there's 9 years between the two of them, both older than me. But he came 9 years later. And then he was 42, my birth father, when I was born. From everything I can see about him and talking to my half-brother, there's no evidence that he knew that they believed that, or that he believes that he knew, because he said his father would never have not done something or said something.
Growing up, did you have any indication? Did you ever feel like you didn't fit in or anything like that?
The only thing I remember, because my dad was very violent, had a very terrible temper. He was 44 when I was born. All his family that came to visit was from New York and very dark and olive skin and hairy. And I was very light skinned. I had light hair. When I look back now at pictures, to me, it looks a lot more obvious. But I also questioned my brother, because my brother didn't look a dark Italian either, like a Southern Italian. He had light brown hair and we had lighter skin. So I just remember I used to dye my hair black when I became a teenager, because, you know, I was living what I thought was three quarter Italian, and we had been Catholic. My parents weren't married long. They They divorced when I was 7. So once that happened, things got even worse for me because literally right after the divorce, my mom moved in. What I later found out was a married man with 2 children that sexually abused, emotionally abused me, and physically abused my brother. Mm. And then my dad had been married. I think he was on his 10th wife when he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I first found out, I was like, I just kept thinking, this has to be my dad. And you know how when you're in shock, like you just can't see it?
Yeah.
I just couldn't see it. And I'm like, well, how did my dad get that person's wife pregnant without him? You know, and I'm just like going into all these different places, not seeing what the truth was. And I remember after the stepfather, whatever you want to call him, because he was married at the time, but he did live with us. He kind of went back and forth. A couple of things stuck out that my mom said when I asked her, well, why did you divorce my dad? She said that he was impotent. So I kind of thought about that when I found out, like, did she hook up with a friend, you know, to have a baby, another baby? Was my brother even his? But I had been told I had a half sister from my birth certificate father that he had fathered when he was in the military, World War II era. And I had met her once, but I don't know if that was true.
Right. Like if she was even actually his.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I do know that it was pretty bad when my dad was there because there were times it was just silly things, Alexis. Like I might have been 5 or so, but he worked nights and I went into the bedroom. I don't even know where my mom was. And I was saying, you know, Johnny won't let me play with the Legos. I want to play with the Legos. Like I'm whining, I'm waking him up. And he grabbed a ski pole and I just watched him beat the living hell out of my brother. Mm. And like I could still see like blood going on the wall.
Mm. I'm so sorry.
I loved my brother so much. And then another time he was in my mom's makeup and he would play with dolls and he beat him again, you know, for putting on, I think he was putting on mascara. So pretty much after that, before my dad left, I just learned never, I just wouldn't talk to him and I wouldn't tell. And I think that's part of when the stepfather came, I didn't tell for a very long time. And even when I did tell, my mom didn't believe me and never did believe me. And even as I got to be an adult, I just remember her saying, because they would come to my house and I had small children. And I finally said, you guys can't be around my children. I had a son and a daughter and he molested me, whether you believe it or not. And I told my grandpa, who was alive at the time. And she said, well, what do you want me to do? Just be alone. And that was her response to 8 years of sexual abuse and neglect by my mother.
I'm so sorry that that happened to you. As you're dealing with all of this information and figuring out what happens with your DNA surprise and then looking back on your childhood and kind of making these connections, were you ever able to get answers as to what happened, given that everyone involved has since passed?
No, only that I just remember hearing his name all the time growing up. The birth father's name that was her friend and he was a cop. And then that finally clicked for me. But I know they were still friends in the 90s because when she told me they went to see him to help my stepfather get back to work, because my stepfather was a real piece of work and had stolen and done all these things through the years that made it impossible for him to go back to work. So he helped them get what he needed for a card so he could go back to work, and he did go back to work. That was in the 1990s, which was, it's kind of one of those synchronicity things because I was also a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back, like, if I could have just known, I would have loved to have met him because he was also a United States Marine and I joined the Marines for some reason. Wow. I became a cop. His name was John Thomas, and I named my son Thomas John.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, I don't know if we look for synchronicities, and the nature versus nurture, mm-hmm. but I thought that was really interesting looking back.
It is really interesting. Has your brother, your newfound brother that you connected with, shared all of this information? Like, is that how you've learned so much about him?
Yes. I learned through my new brother about what a wonderful man, wonderful kind man that he was, wonderful father and husband. He had been drafted during World War II, sent to Iwo Jima, and he was a hero. He received 2 battlefield commissions. He went to Arizona State on a scholarship because he was an amazing athlete and he was going to go to the Olympics, but the war broke out. And my birth certificate father was just an eighth grade. He only graduated the eighth grade. And it just kind of connected to me because I've always been much more studious and quiet. But I thought that it was interesting that I did become a Marine and a police officer, not knowing that that was the road my birth certificate father had taken.
Have you spent any time with those what ifs? Like, what if he'd known about you and in some world had been involved in raising you?
Oh, yes, because I worked through Eve Sturgis's book, Who Even Am I Anymore? And there's a part like what your fantasy family would be. And I always do that, and it's very hard because he was such a wonderful man. I had to call my stepfather, who's still alive, to ask him when I found out if he knew. And he's not a truthful person. I don't know if he lied to me. I would figure he would lie to me. And he said no. But what a great man he was and how everybody loved him and the town that we lived in. And because my childhood was so awful, I do the what ifs, you know, what if he would have known, what if I could have met him, you know, and then the adult part of me kicks in and says, well, I sure would not have wanted to break up what turned out to be a 52-year marriage, but I sure wish I could have met him. And I just think about that, like, even when I was a police officer, I did DARE, which was the DARE to keep kids off drugs. And he started that in the city I was born in. And I thought how cool that would be if I could have met him at some training or some event, but I wouldn't have known. One thing that has been a big positive for me is knowing that I am blood related to a very kind and wonderful man, and the half brother is kind and wonderful as well. He always tells me, I'm thinking of you. I just know that I love you. We haven't met yet, but he has been so supportive and loving, sent me lots of pictures. So I much prefer to come from his bloodline than my birth certificate father.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, it just was awful. Once my father left and that man came, I was neglected by my mother. She was always at work. She worked nights. My brother was off partying. And I was just alone all the time. And if the stepfather wasn't there abusing me, I was home alone because he went back and forth to his wife and 2 children. It was just such a lonely upbringing. We moved a lot. I never really learned to develop like friendships.
Yeah.
Because once my dad left, he just moved on to other wives and they had children and we didn't matter. Like, the few times I saw him, he would just give me money and say, well, don't tell whatever wife he was with at the time. And then pretty soon I didn't see him anymore. But my mother, I can't wrap my head around her right now because I hear all the MPs saying, you know, about the narcissistic mother. And I'm like, well, was she? And as I go through all of this, she definitely had to be. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2004, and my mother was still alive. And that would have been a great opportunity because I called and asked her if we had breast cancer on my dad's side because he wasn't alive. I had no one to ask, or on my mom's side. And she just said, no, not that I know of. And I feel that if she said my father, my birth certificate father was impotent, that she had to know that I was not his child and she had to see something in me growing up. And another time, after my brother died of AIDS, right in the AIDS epidemic, he was one of the first cases. After he had passed, my mom came to visit me by herself because I didn't want her husband around me or my children. And she was ranting at me and she looked me right in the face and said, if one of my children had to die, I wish it would have been you.
Oh my gosh.
It hurt so much, Alexis. And you know, I've talked it over even with my adult daughter and my husband, and they're, oh, well, she didn't mean that. But for her to say something like that, and then I just thought back through my childhood, like that relationship with my stepfather is all, that's all that meant to her. I didn't matter. She tried to commit suicide when I was 16, and then she blamed me and my brother because he had gone back to his wife or something, and so she got put on a hold, and, you know, it was mostly my fault, and I don't even know why. I was just alone all the time or going to school.
Yeah, I mean, you've been through so much. I mean, even beyond the DNA surprise, what have you been doing to work through it? You mentioned Eve's workbook, which I'll link in the show notes.
I thought I was doing okay. Like, I've heard other MPs say, I just kind of was in denial. Then I put it aside for a while and I said, it really doesn't matter because it just brought up so much trauma. So when Eve got the book out, I got that and it's helped a lot with journaling. I did get put on antidepressant and some anxiety medication. And then I am going to start seeing a counselor. The way my insurance works, it's taken a little while, but I'll have an appointment, which I plan on really sticking to. But I think the NPE stuff, it's been a positive because I have felt so alone for so long, even before my mother passed away, that I do have blood out there. So it is a positive in that way. It's just brought up all the trauma from the childhood of everything that happened, how I feel about my mother, angry with her, like beyond angry with her, get into counseling for trauma. But at the end of the day, there are days where I just say, I'm happy that that was my father. I'm happy that he was the one that his blood runs through my veins and not my birth certificate father. So it's almost been a positive in that way because I now have a new wonderful half-brother. I have blood out there that I connect to, and I'm Greek. So,
yeah. Have you found any ways to connect to your Greek heritage?
I have. I started doing some cooking. It's funny because I did tell my children, and my son looked through my family tree and he's all, Mom, if your dad or your grandpa was 100% Greek, you get dual citizenship in Greece. So if you ever want to move to Greece, so that was really sweet. And then he told me, that's why we love Greek food so much. Because both of us, the first time we had Greek food was like, oh my God, it's the food of the gods. Like, where's this been all our life? And, you know, we just thought that was funny looking back. And I've listened to Greek music and it does feel like it's in my bones. And it's funny because a couple places I worked, one of my sergeants was pure Italian when I was a police officer. And I told him, well, I'm 3/4. And he's like, no way. You don't even look Italian. You're not hairy enough. You're all my sisters are all hairy all over. He goes, you can't be all Italian. And my husband has always said, I think you're Greek. I think you're Greek, even before I found this out, because the way my eyes look. So that's all been good. That's all been fun connecting to that. My daughter, it was hard telling her. She's 38 now, but she's just a real feminist. And she's like, whatever, he was just a sperm donor. It doesn't matter. And I was like, wow. And then I got a lot of the, it doesn't change anything. You're still who you are. But as we know, it changes everything.
It really does. Now, you mentioned that one of your newfound brothers is not open to getting to know you. How have you been navigating that, given that, you know, one brother has been extremely open and shared so much with you, and then one has not? What do you make of that?
I think their ages, Alexis, because I'm older. I'm 58. The brother I've gotten so close to is 66. And then the oldest brother is 72. So I think there could be some generational, like, he thinks that's shameful. And in the beginning on the NPE groups, they're like, well, reach out to him anyway. You don't have to listen to the other brother, because he told me, just let me take it from here, because he cannot be a nice person and I don't want him to hurt you. And I got some feedback that said, well, you should reach out anyway, but I trust my new brother. I think because the brother that doesn't want anything to do with me and his son are still politically connected. It's a big name in the city I grew up with still, because they've been so active, that he doesn't want that dirty little secret out that his dad was not the perfect 52-year marriage, father of two boys, war hero, decorated police officer. He was a police officer for 46 years. I don't know if it's a generation thing or a personality thing. Of course, you know, I looked on Facebook because, not Facebook, on the internet, because he's all over the internet, the son that doesn't want anything to do with me and his son. And we look a lot alike. Like, I look more like him than the brother I'm close to, especially our faces, our eyes. And, you know, I do think about, I wish that I could meet him or talk to him. And the brother I'm close to has said he has shared pictures of me with him, and he has talked to him about me and told him what a wonderful person I am, and that he just kind of goes, oh, well, that's interesting. But he was interested in looking at the pictures of me, and that the brother I'm close to said, maybe just give it time and he'll come around. And I guess he had also had some hardships in his life recently when I found this out, and maybe it wasn't the best time to be springing it. But his reputation and his father's reputation are definitely more important in the town that we all grew up in than to have this come out. Not that I would go parading down the street.
No, but I understand. Yeah, it can be very delicate.
Yes, because I would never, and I have never reached out to him, and I don't think I will. I think I'm just going to leave it, and if at some point he chooses to make any contact, then I would be open.
What do you hope for in the future?
I hope to work through therapy and leave the trauma piece behind, but take on my newfound brother, because I do have blood out there, and I have felt such an orphan for so long that just in itself makes me feel good, and that I could focus more on the positives and know that I can't change what happened in the past. I've heard other people say that on your podcast, because we have that looking back, but it can't change anything. I can't change that they've all passed on, and I can't talk to them. I can't change what happened to me as a kid, but I can change my future to be positive and have a beautiful relationship with my new brother.
That's a beautiful perspective.
So I went into all the trauma and how alone and sad I was growing up. But I want to say, and it's funny because you're so young, you probably don't remember, but every night Mr. Rogers would come on and I would sit.
I'm not that young, but thank you.
Well, I would sit there and watch him. And that was my dad growing up. Oh. He was my dad, and I just loved him, and I would look at him, and I just pretended he was my dad, and he was the best dad ever.
That's beautiful. Oh, that made me a little teary. Because I did, honestly, even though I was raised by a wonderful dad, I never had grandfathers growing up, and so I always found, you know, older, like grandpa-aged men on TV, and I'd always be like, that's my grandpa.
That's so sweet. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
What advice do you have for a parent who may be keeping a DNA surprise from their child?
Please don't. And especially in this day and age that they're eventually going to find out, someone's going to upload something somewhere, and the betrayal and the hurt and the regrets is too much, that please, please don't keep the secret. It's up to each parent to decide when the right time would be, but please do it as soon as possible and let them know their full history, especially even the medical history, because for me, that was a big deal. And I think we, just like that group Right to Know, we all have a right to know where we biologically come from.
And what advice do you have for someone who just uncovered a DNA surprise?
My biggest advice is to go slow, because it's so shocking, because I just kind of bumbled into it with the first cousin, and then looking at that name and going, hey, was your dad in law enforcement? Like, all in a matter of hours, and it was way too fast. I think when you first find out, at least give yourself a month to just sit with it and absorb everything. That's just my opinion before reaching out, because you're so raw, and like, my brain wasn't working. I didn't understand what it all meant. And I wish I would have just taken the time to move a lot more slowly and get into counseling right away, because things will start coming up that you haven't felt in maybe decades. And it's really important to have the support there, because people that aren't NPEs or that don't specialize in trauma, they don't mean it, but they really don't understand, and they can say some silly things and crazy things that are more hurtful and not even realize it. So just go slow and take your time.
Well, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and being so open about your journey. I'm so glad that you were able to find your dad and learn more about him, and that he's a wonderful man, and that you've been able to connect with your newfound brother in such a special way. And I hope that relationship continues to grow.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you for having me and for what you do.
Thanks again to Caroline for sharing her story. If you have a DNA surprise story that you'd like to share, please email dnasurprises@gmail.com. Until next time.